Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading for this morning is one of those stories full of Easter truth and light in the book of Acts. We see Peter standing before a crowd of astonished Israelites who had thought that Jesus of Nazareth was dead and gone for sure, never to be active again in this world. But they had heard his apostle say to a lame man, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And they had seen the man do it. Was this a living Messiah, the anointed one working his will among them? Peter began to speak to them about the name, the mighty name of Jesus. The name of Jesus tells the saving truth about him. It is the name of the Savior, sent by God to redeem the world and bring blessing to the nations of the world. And through that truth and that name, his own name, the Savior works to make that happen. If God had forgotten the promises tied up in the name of Jesus and had not raised him from the dead, then the name of Jesus would be no different from any other name. But the name of the risen Savior is mighty and wonderful because he lives and acts and reigns. We are called to have faith in his name and to believe that he is alive and ready to help us. The name of Jesus, being nothing other than gospel truth, reaches into the heart and creates faith, faith in itself. Peter could say and was saying now that this had happened to him and the other apostles. Jesus was alive, they had seen him, and he had sent them to carry out the blessings of his name. The Savior gave them power to do some signs and wonders, like healing the lame man, to announce that his kingdom had begun and would continue to pour out the blessings and benefits which he had won for them. They had faith in his name, his word, and what his name was now doing, their faith in his name was doing. What I just said is so important to the meaning of this passage that it bears repeating. What the name of Jesus is doing, our faith in his name is doing. So Peter says to the Israelites, not our power or piety, but his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is brought about through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. The name of Jesus, as he makes himself known, brings about faith in the name of Jesus, faith in itself. That happened with the apostles. We see it happening with the lame man as he leaps and walks and praises God for what God has done by the name of Jesus. And Peter wanted this also to happen in the Israelites to whom he was speaking. They had been jolted into the consciousness that Jesus was alive from the dead, but also that they were guilty before him for their opposition to him. And Peter now pleaded with them to repent and have faith in the name of Jesus, the name of the Savior sent to atone for sinners, the name of the one approved by God by the resurrection of the dead, the name of the Christ appointed for you, he says. Repent and turn, he says, that your sins may be blotted out. And then he said the next day, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Faith in Jesus' name depends upon him, knows he is alive and near, and knows his love and grace, and relies on it for salvation and for his living presence in every sorrow and in every trouble and need. His name encourages us in life, and in death there is no other name that can help us. The gospel which the church is called to proclaim is a message centered in the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean that the name of Jesus brings about faith in all who hear it. But the name of Jesus does gladden many hearts and produce faith there. We are glad to see that Pastor Denbolt, our guest from Norway, is among us again, and he is sitting in his usual place in chapel. And I am sure that he is familiar with the name of Hans Egede, the Norwegian Lutheran pastor who felt a burden to bring the gospel to the people of Greenland. But while these Eskimos were friendly enough, they did not at first readily receive the message of Jesus. They would ask questions like, what's so bad about hell? And when did you last see this God whom you are talking about? And how long is your sermon going to go on? But one Eskimo saw him, or maybe it was his son, writing some words, a translation into Eskimo language, and he was interested. What were these words saying? And he was told, they say that the people of the world are lost and condemned, but God, in his boundless love, has sent a Redeemer to die for all mankind. The name of Jesus was in those words. The Eskimo was moved by this news and wanted to know more. He wanted to know the whole story of the death of Jesus and all about Jesus. The gracious name of the Savior was beginning to work on him. And in the end, of course, all Greenland became a Christian people. The mighty name of Jesus can be a great consolation to people who are seeking peace with God, and an encouragement to share its truth with others who need to hear it. We hear Peter say to the Israelites, "You denied the Holy and Righteous One." But we may ask, who was Peter to talk? He too had denied the Holy One in his own case, and not long before this. But Peter had turned to the Savior and received forgiveness. And you too may hesitate to speak to someone about sin, to speak up for Jesus, because you know that you have sins to which such a one could point. But as a child of God, you can say those sins are blotted out because Jesus died for them, and yours too can be blotted out. The mighty name of Jesus is an encouragement to forgiven sinners to speak about him to other sinners. A Roman emperor who persecuted the Christians had this engraved into stone: the name of Christ has been destroyed. Oh, is that so? Look at history. The Roman Empire is gone. That emperor is long gone. But the kingdom of God remains, revering the name of Jesus and rejoicing in it. We give it all glory. And we shall do that now in our hymn, which you can find in the Lutheran hymnal.